Today on Movie World, as we talk about St. Vincent, Laggies and Whiplash. Time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yeah, it's Jay as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly list of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, the show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
It's San Diego Film Festival special.
I guess it is, yes. These are all movies that were shown at SDFF, which was terrific, by the way.
Yes.
Very good curating of movies.
Yeah, a good
this
mix.
This is the first one I've been to, and I was really impressed with the level of curation.
Yeah, good mix of mainstream movies and
yeah, and some little
ones
and some not so good ones. But
yeah,
but that's the case with every film festival,
correct.
Right? I mean, you know,
yeah, true.
They're not always perfect. Even the big ones have movies that are turkeys. Yeah. Is such an unfair word, but
yeah,
they're you know they're every film festival. Gives you a range of films to choose from, and you know it's a way for directors to showcase talent, and maybe some of them are still developing their talent.
And like people, there is one for everyone.
Yeah, and I guess we should clarify that we're not talking about the film festival which happened a month ago. These are movies which are being currently released. They were shown at the film festival.
We were lucky enough to catch them. Yeah,
we caught them there, but they have theatrical distribution right now. So,
but that's one of the great things that we should you know.
I know.
Everyone needs to go to film festivals. Yeah. If you're a fan of movies, which you are because you listen to Movie Rollers, otherwise why else would you put up with our nonsense and banter, then, you know, film festivals are a natural environment for you. You know, go there and spend a weekend because it's just time well spent at the movies.
I know, and just the bragging rights. I mean, if you're really into movies and if you're into Bill Murray, how great that you saw the Bill Murray movie, which nobody else is going to get to see until, you know, 2 months later. Or if you're a Keira Knightley fan, you know, that you see this movie before anybody else. So
yeah, it's a
that's
real
a
treat.
Cool thing. Yeah.
Even the Reese Witherspoon movie Wild
is
not out until December, and yet we saw it in, you know, September.
Yeah.
So it's just a great opportunity to see these things. So go to your film festival, support them.
Come on, people. Do it.
But since you didn't, you're going to want to hear about these three movies. We have St. Vincent, Laggies and Whiplash. Where would you like to start?
Yasti choose. I like when Yasti chooses.
Whiplash.
Okay. So I'm going to intro Whiplash and just very briefly. I'm just going to read its IMDb description here. Andrew Naaman is an ambitious young jazz drummer, single-minded in his pursuit to rise to the top of his elite East Coast Music Conservatory. Plagued by the failed writing career of his father, Andrew hungers day and night to become one of the greats. Terence Fletcher, an instructor equally known for his teaching talents as for his terrifying methods, leads the top jazz ensemble of the school. Fletcher discovers Andrew and transfers the aspiring drummer into his band, forever changing the young man's life. The movie's directed by Damien Chazelle and stars Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons, with supporting roles from Melissa Benoist and Paul Reiser. Guys, what did you think of Whiplash?
So Whiplash is one of those movies where you know exactly what's going to happen as soon as the first frame plays, but it doesn't make the journey getting there any less enjoyable or a treat to watch. This is brilliant acting and a very focused story. This is every David versus Goliath and every man overcoming every hurdle in front of him to become victorious. I really like this movie.
Yasti.
I actually did not see the trajectory of this movie at all.
Oh.
I did not. And the movie surprised me at every turn, pretty much. But I think this might be one of the most engaging films of the year. And I think the word visceral is so overused, but this film truly earns the right to be called that. Because truly the film will shake and rattle every audience member. And it's also technically very accomplished with particularly with its jaw-dropping editing and its musical score, all of which is so bizarre because the most dominant reaction the film elicited from me was one of hatred. I hated this movie through much of its running length. I could not watch this movie. It really bothered me.
That's a surprise
to
me.
Wow.
Yeah, and we can discuss that
yeah,
more.
Yeah, we will absolutely discuss that because I thought, like Rashmi, this movie was absolutely fantastic. It's going to be one of my favorite movies of the year, clearly. Even Chris Nolan with his Interstellar coming up. That's my first mention on the podcast of Interstellar. But he's going to have a hard time beating this because this movie was so damn effective for me. And come on, it's about jazz drumming. I mean, you know, this is a topic I know nothing about. And had I seen or known anything about what this movie was, what the subject matter of this movie was, I would have said to Rashmi, let's go see something else. But, you know, no, we got to see Whiplash and fantastic. It's got one of the great villains of any movie this year in it, in the role of J.K. Simmons. And for me, that's an Oscar-worthy performance here. It's one that I will remember for years. This character is seared across my brain and I can't wait to see it again.
I agree. I mean, like, J.K. Simmons is incredible in this role. You know, I fell in love with J.K. Simmons, and it's weird to say I fell in love with him. I fell in love with his performance during that amazing series Oz that played on HBO for, you know, 7 seasons, and I came late to the table. He was just incredible as the Aryan leader. And again, although I think it's got some of those elements of control and leadership, he is convincing in the way that he is a jazz aficionado. I mean, just incredible performances. And Miles Teller is not a million miles behind him. I mean, if this was just Miles Teller with someone who wasn't as proficient as J.K. Simmons in that role, I would be giving this all to Miles Teller. But, you know, J.K. Simmons was incredible. I'm calling it now as well, Oscar.
Yesly, why did you react?
Yeah, why?
So I'll tell you exactly why. You know, the film elicited such a strong reaction from me. And I guess maybe in a way the very fact that it perturbed me so much speaks to the success of the movie. But I think in its own way, so what's at the crux of this whole movie, right? The crux of this whole movie is this argument that maybe you look at sports or you look at art, that essentially the true genius or the true potential in a genius can only be fully reached if that person is pushed beyond limits.
Adversity.
Right? No, that's very different from adversity. So I can understand if somebody's parents died and they got robbed and they got murdered and they got choked. What this movie is saying, and this is what I find most offensive about the movie, is what it's saying is, in its own way, it's defending bullyism. It's saying that, oh, sure, you know, the only way, this is what the movie is saying, that the only way you can make somebody reach their full potential is to put them through hell. And I don't mind. These abusive people exist in every sphere. We deal with them at work. I bet the worst coaches in sport are very abusive. They push their players to the limit. Musicians do the same thing. But the problem with
ballerinas,
the JK ballerinas,
yeah.
they you know, Cirque du Soleil performers, they kill themselves. But I have a real problem with this J.K. Simmons character because he is abusive at every manner of the word, physically, mentally, psychologically, emotionally. This is a monster of a person. And in the very last minutes of the movie can't decide whether it really is siding with him or not. And at the end of the movie, it's kind of making the, it's almost defending his behavior. And that's where I had a fundamental problem with it.
I can see why you saw it that way. I don't think that was the intended message. I think the intended message is that we accept mediocrity in so many ways in life right now. And that acceptance of mediocrity is what causes people to not live up to their potential. It does it in a way that I agree is crossing a line, and it's done for dramatic effect.
But it's crossing more than a line.
But I agree. I mean, I can see why you say it promotes bullying. I don't think that was the intent. I think it is the intent.
I think
they set out to kind of give this message of mediocrity is the enemy of greatness. And that's something I truly believe in. I think, honestly, so many points and so many examples that you see in life where people are like, great job, well, pat on the back for doing your job is...
No, I think a good teacher in a school should absolutely push their students. They should drive them insane. They should drive them ragged. But there is a line between... And good coaches and sports teams should do that. But there's a line between doing that and being abusive. This man, from the start...
Drill sergeant.
No, he's more than a drill sergeant. He's a vicious psychopath. He's playing mind games with this guy. Okay, he calls him at 6 a.m. in the morning for a practice, which happens at 9 a.m. There's nothing this guy is going to achieve from that by showing up 3 hours early. He's just messing with his head.
Yeah, so let me step in then. So I think it's about the fact that his own ego drives him to feel like everyone is at his disposal, because it doesn't matter who these other people are who are playing in his band. Ultimately, he's the recognized name and he has a reputation to uphold. And so he will do anything he can to uphold his reputation, because that's what gets dollars through the door. So I don't disagree that he's the bully. I don't disagree that it's about mediocrity. I think it's about all of those, but I think it's really about him and his ego.
It's drama.
I just find it hard to believe that.
Three reasons why you should go and see this movie.
I mean, by the way, I'm absolutely...
We all took something different from it.
I'm going to recommend that people go watch this movie, but I just find it very hard to believe that somebody right now can behave like that and get away with it. I find it hard to believe.
And I don't believe this guy can, because it's a drama, and I don't know that anyone who behaved the way that this man did in real life would still have a job more than...
Oh, please. Hello, Yazdi and Joe. What? This is happening daily.
It's
happening daily, and that's why we hear about it on the news when it pops up, because people do a sufficient enough job to hide the bullying. Please, come on, don't be so naive.
No, there is.
I'll have to go and get some alcohol if you pursue this.
But this guy's bullyism is just off the charts. I mean, and the whole point, you know, Mozart was not bullied into becoming great. Okay, he was, you know, he had the genius within him, the creativity. So I don't really buy this thing of you will reach your full potential unless somebody really whips your ass and, you know, brings you to.
But Charlie Parker.
Yeah, Leonardo da Vinci, the greatest artist of all time. Nobody pushed him. He just was.
So I don't think it's about the pushing. I think it's about the fact that what comes out of the pushing. So if someone comes to you and says, here's your dream that you've wanted for the whole of your life, it's not going to happen because frankly, you suck, right? There's two ways you're going to react to that. One is you're going to say, yeah, I agree, I suck, and you're never going to touch that thing again. Or you're going to say, you know what? F you. I'll show you how good I am. And that's where I think it comes from. So it's not about accepting mediocrity. I think it's about the human
inspiring
spirit.
I understand.
No, it's not even about inspiration, Yazdi, because I think if you have dreamed about being the best ballerina, the best drummer, the best runner, the best chef, if someone comes to you and takes that dream away, what else are you? And if you've done that all your life, 24/7, once that dream is taken away, what are you left with? So you either fight for it or you let it go.
This movie reminded me in many ways of Black Swan.
Yes.
That same compulsive, obsessive drive of that specific individual.
Correct.
To achieve a level of greatness that...
So you understand, I have no problems with that. So people who are driven, people who don't sleep, they practice for hours, you know. They're self-motivated. All these people who, you know, who auditioned for Cirque du Soleil, like I said, they are obsessed, and I commend them. I have a problem with justifying this character who is doing horrible things. I really had a problem. And, you know, J.K. Simmons, riveting performance, never less than believable, but I was so horrified. He's monstrous.
He's absolutely monstrous.
Is he any worse than P. Diddy on Making the Band and some of the things he does on those reality shows?
Way worse.
I know it's worse because, you know, we're not allowed to show him slapping people on TV. But I mean, I'm saying is when you have someone who is the headliner and everyone else is judged according to the fact that this headliner brings them, all I'm trying to say is that I think the motivation of the character comes from somewhere else other than he's just a bully. He's a bully because he fears that his reputation will be tarnished if he puts someone crappy on the stage.
Like, look what he does to the... There's another player in the room, and, you know, he beats them, he throws things at them, and remember, he's like, one of you has played out of tune.
Yeah.
Right? And he picks,
Brilliant scene.
This kid, you know, who really was not playing out of tune, but he just lacked the confidence. Do you think he helped that kid? Or do you think he helped the other kid who was actually playing out of tune. I don't even understand how that was a learning moment. But why is that a learning moment? This guy is a psychopath.
He wasn't there to help them. He was there to help them achieve their potential.
Yeah, and you're assuming that the film is telling us it's a learning moment. Maybe we're just trying to find out what a psychopath this guy is.
Yeah, so he's a psychopath. And so I hate that the movie is defending a bully psychopath.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it's defending him. He has serious repercussions. And I agree. I mean, in the finale, maybe it becomes a little ambiguous.
It does. To its great credit, yes.
But I do think that this character just doesn't tolerate anyone who doesn't strive to achieve perfection. And it takes determination and drive and pushing yourself beyond where you thought you could go. And how many times have you been in a situation in life where, and I use the example of not where I work currently, but where I used to work, where I had a boss who was extremely tough on me. And I look back at some of those moments and I think, I never worked as hard as I did there. I've never worked anywhere else as hard as I did there. But boy, did I achieve a lot. I mean, it really made me recognize, it was a miserable experience. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was really, at times, that was very hard to deal with. But I look back at those moments and I'm like, oh my word. Look at what I was able to achieve in terms of, you know, growth, development, productivity. I would have never achieved those types of things under different circumstances. So I think that was the movie's message.
Okay, let's wind this one up. Yazdi.
So the movie's truly breathless in at least two places where you totally forget to breathe. And the acting is beyond fault. I mean, truly exceptional. I mean, I will not begrudge, like you said, Rashmi, any end of year awards recognition which come for the two main leads of the movie. And, you know, I think if you truly appreciate cinema, you do need to watch this film. I just have no desire to see this again. I think this is a beautifully made movie, just technically, you know, from a filmmaker, I believe this is only his second film. This movie is technically so accomplished. I mean, at every level, the sound design, the editing, the acting, the writing, it's so brilliant. Everything about this movie is beautiful. But I think there's a lurking ugliness underneath that beauty. And so I cannot abide by it. 4 out of 10.
Whoa.
I mean, go watch this movie. This guy is a homophobic, psychopathic, horrible, horrible monster of a person who has no reason being around. Whoa. Anybody who needs to be taught. I'd really have a really strong reaction to this guy.
I think that's 4 disguised as a 10 because it had such a violent reaction on Yazdi. And, you know, let's not forget, Miles Teller played the drums in this movie. He can play drums and he had 2 extra weeks of training, apparently.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's amazing in this. Joe.
Yazdi, I've never seen you be so completely wrong about anything before on Movie Wallers. Of course, I mean, you react the way that you do, and you're entitled to that. I'm just kidding. But this is probably my favourite movie of the year so far, and I went in with 0 expectations, so, you know, that always helps with me, not having a build-up. But just the way the movie carried us through its narrative... like Rashmi said at the beginning, I mean, I think ultimately you can see where it's going to go. It's a sports movie, right? It's that kind of triumphant sports movie, you know, that kind of telling there. But the way it told that story and the interaction and the interplay between those two characters is some of the most mesmerizing cinema I've experienced this year. This is a 9 out of 10 very easily. And I don't know how there will be a movie this year that's going to top it.
So you won't get whiplash or any other injury from watching this movie unless you're Yazdi. In fact, I think your head will spin from the incredible acting and the cat and mouse extravaganza that plays out. 9 out of 10. Solid. And I think Oscar nominations for both Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
I mean, the acting is just brilliant. And I mean,
faultless.
Again, I mean, I'm telling you, there's a set of scenes in the middle of the movie. And then the very last act, which is so flawlessly done. Mm-hmm. You know, just you are so unable to breathe. And I mean, this movie really shakes you to your core.
Yeah.
I just had a real problem with how that character's written. I think it's not playing fair at all.
And it's beautifully, despite its excesses, in some parts, it's beautifully restrained. I mean, there are some moments of very sparse dialogue in which incredible things are communicated between the characters non-verbally. Just wow.
And the score is amazing. Is I mean, I'm really liking jazz as I get older. And this score was incredible. Beautiful score.
I don't know. This movie is the equivalent of saying, if you're an abused spouse, stay with that person because ultimately you need that person as much as they need you.
You'll be better for it.
Saying that. It's like in your pursuit of being the best you can be, it's okay to be abused.
Yes, that's what it's really saying. Not saying that
it's
at all.
It's totally saying that.
I think it maybe said that to you. I think that's something we need to talk about once the podcast is done.
Yeah, yes. I think we need to get the cow chow. It's
completely defending bullyism. Like that. And if the movie had ended differently, maybe I would have said the way this whole David and Goliath thing would have played out. But the last 10 scenes of the movie imply just that.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that was the
we'll
payout.
Do that as a spoiler
session.
We'll
do a wrangle.
Yeah.
We'll do a wrangle.
Yeah, this is a good one for a wrangle. Okay, we will wrangle
20 minutes into this podcast, we need to talk about another movie. So let's move on to St. Vincent.
And I have the intro for that one as well. So Maggie, a single mother, moves into a new home in Brooklyn with her 12-year-old son, Oliver. Forced to work long hours, she has no choice but to leave Oliver in the care of her new neighbor, who happens to be a retired curmudgeon named Vincent, who has a penchant for alcohol and gambling. An odd relationship soon blossoms between the improbable pair, and together with a pregnant stripper named Daka, Vincent brings Oliver along to all the stops that he usually makes on his daily routines, the racetrack, the strip club, the local dive bar. And Vincent helps Oliver to grow to become a man, while Oliver begins to see in Vincent something that no one else is able to, a misunderstood man with a good heart. So this is directed in screenplay by Theodore Melfi, and it stars Bill Murray, Melissa McCarthy, Naomi Watts, Chris O'Dowd, Terrence Howard, and Jaden Lieber as the young Oliver. So, Yazdi, you saw this one at the film festival.
Yes.
And Joe and I were able to catch up with this one subsequently. So, tell us how blown away or not you are by this movie.
So, this movie is the quintessential crowd pleaser. It's designed to, you know, elicit a particular reaction from the audience. And I think for the most part, it's very successful doing that. So I think the movie, for what it wants to be, I think it accomplishes that. I did have problems with it, by the way, but we'll talk about that more.
Yeah, and I think I had a lot of problems with it. I think this movie just plays it a little too safe in so many ways. I think this character, it was just very predictable. I didn't by the cantankerous nature of the Bill Murray character. So this movie's that classic kind of, you know, grumpy old guy with a sweet inside, and people just don't understand him. But if they knew him for who he really was, they would love him for the saint that he is. And only one person can see this. And how many times have we seen this story play out? And
a decade ago, Jack Nicholson won his Oscar for As Good As It Gets.
I'm really bored of this trope a kind of a standard theme in the movies. And I think, you know, this movie doesn't do anything different with the idea. It's carried by some wonderful performances. I think Murray does a really nice job. And the young man who plays the boy role, he's as good as a young actor as I've seen in a long time. So, you know, from those perspectives alone, I think the movie's nicely done. But honestly, it bored me. It bored me. I knew what was going to happen, and I was just bored.
So I was going to say, yeah, we've seen these single-parent stories play out time and time again to varying degrees of success, but I'm happy to say I think this one was really, really good. From the acting, to the dialogue, to the story, and despite the fact that it's somewhat predictable, I think it's got more than enough to keep you incredibly entertained. And I think it's thought-provoking too. I think I love this one because it felt so huggable and adorable. And I just found myself very endeared to the characters. Plus, I love Bill Murray, and Bill Murray is really good in this. Like, what a great comeback. And not just as a bit part.
Did he ever leave?
Well, you know, I mean, ever since Lost in Translation or Ghostbusters, I mean, he's done bit parts. We saw him in the film with George Clooney, that
Monuments Man.
The Monuments Man, and I don't think he had such a big role, but I think this is the first time he's been headlined again. So I was really happy to see him headlined again.
Well, he's been in all the Wes Anderson movies as well, but with bit parts.
Yeah, but they're bit parts. I wouldn't say that he's a headliner, you know.
My big problem with this is, and I actually question why Bill Murray even signed up for this, is the movie gets so heavy-handed in its last act. And I know the movie is trying to be very, very mainstream from that perspective, but, and listen, I'm the one out of the three of us who thinks, you know, that schmaltz is not a four-letter word. I love the schmaltz when it's done well. I mean, The Impossible and even Short Term 12 last year, you know, which really do justice to being sentimental. But this movie kind of crosses the line with its sentimentality. I mean, there's this whole bit at the end where people give speeches, and for crying out loud, it's in the title of the movie. They make a saint out of him. I mean, I don't know. That I got a sugar overdose, rush.
So clearly, I'm the one that's eaten the schmaltz balls this week, because I just found this incredibly sweet and endearing. And I think, Yazdi, the message for me was, yeah, of course, you know, you can make a saint out of the good guy who does this, or the good woman who does that, or the person who does charity work. But I think the whole message of the movie is that it doesn't matter how curmudgeon and nasty and grumpy you come across, it's in the actions that you take, and it's not necessarily even the actions that you take, but how meaningful they are to someone in particular, where they don't have to be. And I think that, again, I think this is an example of a movie where clearly two people need each other to be better than they are on their own. And that, I think, it does beautifully. I didn't like, I'll give you something, I didn't like the whole Naomi Watts stripper thing.
Oh,
that
I
was
liked
just
it.
Too much for me. I just thought, I mean, it was comedic,
yeah.
But it was too weird. It was too weird for me.
Yeah, I mean, Naomi Watts was a disaster in this movie.
Really?
I didn't buy her Russian accent at all. And that, like, yeah, I'm with you, Rashmi, on this, because that whole storyline made a movie, and it's rated PG-13, which I'm very surprised
no,
by.
No, it's not rated PG-13, is it?
It is, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
No, the first time you see Naomi Watts, she's doing very un-PG-13
well,
actions.
That's why I'm kind of surprised. But according to Rotten Tomatoes, this is a PG-13 rated movie. And
wow.
It shouldn't be for the scenes with Naomi Watts alone. And they're completely inconsistent with what the movie is otherwise doing. It's, you know, the grumpy old man, you know, Disney movie.
I liked her parts because, you know, clearly she's not meant to be anything close to reality. I mean, she's there for comic
yeah, she's
comic
the
relief.
Russian prostitute.
Right, she's the Russian. And I don't know, that
she's
part
a didn't
bother
bride
me.
Or, you know, stripper, yeah. Or whatever she is.
She's a plot device.
Yeah.
Right? She's a plot device.
I find it hard to believe, though, that even a Russian prostitute who looks like Naomi Watts would be with Bill Murray. Just as much of a shock it was to me that Helen Hunt would ever be with Jack Nicholson. But we'll move on with the ageist, sexist ways of Hollywood.
Okay, I'm ready for a wind-up on this one. So, Yazdi, you go first.
I think this is a perfectly good vehicle for people who want to have fun for a couple hours. It's a classic crowd pleaser. I just wish it hadn't been so heavy-handed towards the end. I don't know. I just didn't feel that it earned the sentimentality it was going after. 6 out of 10.
Joe.
In theaters, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. In the back of an airplane is where this movie, I think, would have merit. You know, if you're on a long flight and you've already seen 2 or 3 good movies, this one isn't a complete waste of your time. But honestly, I was bored. And we've seen this so many times before, I can only give it a 5 out of 10, despite the fact that I enjoyed the performances.
I think this is equal parts dramedy and comedy mixed with double the amount of good, solid, aging, and adorable young protagonist. I think this is a recipe for success, but I agree with you, Yazdi. I mean, it doesn't feel like more than a 6 out of 10. But I really enjoyed it. I found myself laughing a lot, and I found myself really endeared to the movie. I love Bill Murray. I love the little boy.
The kid was great.
Yeah, the kid was great. The kid is going to be something special. Yeah. But yeah, I think 6 out of 10 is a good score.
And even Melissa McCarthy, who really plays the straight man here for once.
I actually was happy to see her in that role.
She completely bows before Murray. Like, she plays this character so straight. At the screening that I attended, they had the director of the movie there, and he spoke for about half an hour about what efforts it took him to get Bill Murray to sign up for the movie.
Oh, how interesting.
And it seemed like, you know, it's, I hate to sound uncharitable, but we have to stop mythologizing Bill Murray. He's been made now into some kind of elusive creature who can't be reached, and he doesn't have a phone, and he doesn't have an agent, and you send things to him, and, you know, maybe he'll get back to you, you know, by sending a pigeon to you or something. They were really...
He was even in Adventureland, remember?
Yeah. So I think Bill Murray is good in this, but... I really don't. I had no desire to watch Bill Murray like hum a song, which is over which a whole song over which the credits play out at the end of the movie.
It was cute.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man, you guys are
just, no. I thought that was just trying too hard to be artsy. I mean, I think, you know, that those kind of moments are when they're done well.
Mm-hmm.
They're mesmerizing, but. Here I was like, well, what's the point of this? And I was waiting for something to happen, and just like the rest of the movie, nothing happened. So,
I think for me this would have been 2 points more, like 8 out of 10, if they'd just removed that whole scene in the auditorium at the school. That scene,
really?
I was wincing. I was like, oh, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. But and I'm the schmaltz king, right? But it's funny, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. Hmm.
Okay.
Laggies. Movie number 3 this week is Laggies.
So in the throes of a quarter-life crisis, Megan panics when her boyfriend proposes, then taking on opportunity to escape for the week, hides out in the home of her new friend, 16-year-old Annika, who lives with her world-weary single dad. So this is directed by Lynn Shelton and written by Andrea Seagull, and it stars Keira Knightley, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Sam Rockwell, amongst others. So we all got to see this one at the film festival. Unfortunately, there wasn't any talent available after the movie.
Correct.
But we were very happy to see an early review of this. So, Joe, why don't you start us off?
So, you know, Laggies is one of those kind of gentle comedies that we've seen. Again, this is going to sound a little bit like my St. Vincent comments, but we've seen this kind of thing before, right? The kind of, you know, the people who don't want to grow up, they don't want to accept that adulthood is upon them, and they're trying to extend their youth. This movie does, you know, a reasonable job of telling, you know, a story like that of a similar character, but it's not as effective as anything like, you know, Jason Reitman's Young Adult, which I really enjoyed. You know, again, a person who's kind of stuck in their past and refusing to move on with life and their world. So, you know, it was a nice movie overall, but there was nothing... specifically memorable about this film, and I say that with genuine truth to it, because it's been a few weeks since I've seen it and I remember very little about it.
Yes, Steve.
So there's two things I want to say about it. One is, there was a time in my life when I was so stressed, and I remember I was traveling from work and I had a connecting flight out of New York, and I was at JFK airport waiting to board the next plane, and I had this really strong desire. Honestly, I had a very, very strong desire to just walk out and just like not contact anybody I knew, just start my life fresh in New York City as a brand new person, completely delay my adulthood, completely shirk all my responsibilities. It was very real in the moment, and it was almost hard for me to not do what I wanted to do. And the Keira Knightley character is kind of that. She's kind of suspended, and she doesn't want to deal with, you know, fairly important questions that she needs to deal with, both romantically as well as professionally. So I can kind of empathize. We don't see this very often in movies. You know, most movies preach, you know, responsibility, etc. So that kind of bit kind of resonated for me. The second thing is, you know, of all the underrated directors in the world, I really have a great affinity for Lynn Shelton, who directed this movie. And, you know, she previously made Hump Day, and then she made My Sister's Sister, which was one of my best movies of the year a couple years ago. And then Touchy Feely, which came out last year with Rosemary DeWitt. And the way she makes her movies is through workshopping. Is she doesn't write a script. She brings her lead actors together. And they have only the vaguest idea for a skeleton of a script. And they all kind of workshop for weeks. And the characters write their own dialogue, and then she films it. And I think those earlier movies of hers are so successful, and they're so authentic because of that whole experience. And now I can see Lynn Shelton is working with, you know, bigger name actors like Chloe Grace Moretz and Sam Rockwell and Keira Knightley. And I think she's kind of a little bit, what makes her special is lost when she's working more traditionally with a scripted story. So I like this movie a lot. I enjoyed it. For me, any movie which has Sam Rockwell already earns a lot of karma right off the bat, because I think he, along with Marissa Tomei, are the two most undervalued actors right now in Hollywood. So from all of those perspectives, I enjoyed it. There was nothing that bothered me or annoyed me when I was watching it, but I wish it would have been a little bit more.
Yeah, I think just to echo what Joe was saying and what you're saying, Yazdi, I think in recent years the quarter life crisis movie has become so popular with films like Hello, I Must Be Going, which we all loved, Lola Versus, Frances Ha, and even Young Adult, which you mentioned, Joe, and many, many more. But I think Laggy's, rather like all of the above, is about the promise of life and who we want to be when we grow up, if we choose to grow up. And much as I think most of the characters in the movies I mentioned are annoying, including the one in Young Adult who I just couldn't stomach, I found this character actually much more likable. And I think overall this film was sweet and avoided being too precious, which I think a lot of them can get. But of course, the plot is totally unrealistic and ridiculous. But despite that, I actually enjoyed the movie. And I'm with you. I love Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give Keira Knightley credit for what she brought to this role, because I think there was a likability to this character that, you, like you said, Rashmi, that these type of characters don't always have. And I think, you know, Knightley was just very believable in this person who was just struggling with, you know, forks in the road that you encounter in that point in your life. And, I just kind of wish the movie had done a little bit more with them. You know, I think Laggies is a beautiful name for the movies, because, you know, I didn't think the movie was very, it took any real bold steps in any direction.
I agree. Know, it wasn't edgy. It definitely wasn't edgy. I think what Young Adult brought was it brought some edge, but I just didn't like the edge it brought. This brought no edge. This was just curvy and lovely and smooth. But I don't think that made it a bad movie.
Yeah, and it does. It's not overly sweet, and it's not overly sentimental. And I think for me, Keira Knightley is kind of in the same mode she was in Begin Again.
Yeah.
Which is a far superior film, but, you know, in the same, she's pretty likable. And then Sam Rockwell, I mean, God bless him. I mean, he can take every piece of contrived dialogue and somehow make it ring with authenticity. So Chloe Grace Moretz, I can do with or without.
She's the one I'm having the most trouble with at the moment. I think this in-between phase that she's going through at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she's in great risk of being typecast at the minute.
We always worry about her and everything that she's been in.
I know. Ever since Kick-Ass, so.
She was. I think she was good in this.
She was good enough. You know, she was good enough.
She took on all those weird roles for a while. Carrie and the vampire and all that. Yeah, I feel bad for her and her career right now.
I feel like it didn't need a Chloe Grace Moretz in this. It almost needed like a no-name daughter in this, right? It kind of, by having Chloe Grace Moretz in this, it almost diverts the attention and makes you think that something should be happening that isn't happening because you've got a named actor in that role. So it kind of throws you off what the movie may be about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Joe, you look like you've lost the will to even talk about this one.
I haven't got much to say. I mean, I wish it had a little bit more edge to it, you know. I mean, you know, I wish, like, the Knightley character had run off and had a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old boy or something, you know, something to kind of really spark the...
Are we talking from your own fantasy, maybe?
Yazdi's not the only one that needs a couch this week, but... No, I mean, I think, you know, just something braver in the mix here would have elevated this movie and made me kind of prick my ears up and listen. Instead, I just had a reasonable moment at the movies.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I'm going to score at the end of what I'm going to say. But
yeah, did you want to score that? Oh, that sounded like a summing up, actually.
Sure, 6 out of 10.
I think by virtue of the way the plot is structured for this movie, it does not have a choice but to kind of turn around every corner and tie up all the loose ends. And so what should have come off as heightened and authentic unfortunately comes off a little bit rote. And, you know, this is a very gifted director who has really a way of working with actors, and I really want her to go back to her roots and make those smaller films. But having said that, this is a perfectly good movie. I would recommend it to everyone. It doesn't have an edge, but as blunt as it is, it's a cute little thing. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm with you, Yasti. I think it had some really clever scenes around a group of friends growing up from college, mm-hmm. through adulthood, and right. what happens when a peer group starts to change and people change in different directions. I thought that exploration could have done with maybe a bit more time, and that would have given us a better movie maybe. This is a totally far-fetched movie, but it was so enjoyable to watch and fun. So I'm with Yazdi. I mean, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole part... Exactly, that whole part at the start where, you know, when you grow up with a group of friends, whether you like it or not, you're all going to judge each other in terms of where you are at, you know, in your life. And even though they may mean well, if you're not at the same juncture as the rest of them are, then...
Or you choose a completely different path.
Right, then you're somehow, you start feeling less of yourself.
Or it changes the dynamic because it's not what people wanted for themselves and they chose a different path, right?
Right.
So all terrifically good themes that the film failed to explore.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah. Maybe partially.
I mean, it got me thinking.
It touched on them, but I'm the guy that needs a slap in the face with a wet fish to kind of get any of these themes across. And maybe it was too subtle for me, but...
Yeah, I think it also did something else quite interestingly, which is... You know, if you had the opportunity to go back to your youth and teach your 15-year-old self
right.
what's important, what would you do? And although Keira Knightley isn't teaching her 15-year-old self, she's teaching her 15-year-old Chloe right. Grace Moretz. So that, again, another very interesting angle, but it didn't quite play out. And I think, yeah, maybe not the running off and having an affair with a 14-year-old, because that would be against the law. But I think it did need some oomph.
If someone's having a crisis in a movie, I want them to have real crisis.
You want them
I want them to do, like, you know,
the try Michael heroin Fassbender for the first thing time, in Shameless.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
Break the law, or, you know, do something completely reckless.
But she does go missing. She does not tell her parents where she is. And
no, she pretends she's at a course.
Yeah, she's staying at a nice little house in suburbia.
Yeah,
how bold and brave of that character.
True.
Yeah. Go explore the wilderness.
Or the San Diego Film Festival in 2015.
True.
Rashmi brought it back to SDFF. So, again, we got to see these, or some of these, all were showing at San Diego Film Fest well ahead of their openings and general releases. So, lovely film festival moment. I guess we'll wrap up for today. So... let us know what you think. Twitter.com/MovieRollers, Facebook.com/MovieRollers. Join our growing community of Facebook fans. We love to see your posts. Do post away.
Set up wrangles to debate with us.
And yes. More wrangles, yes.
Yeah, so the results from our last wrangle are actually in if we want to go and have a look at that one.
Until our next podcast, it is too many movies and too little time. I'll say goodnight from me.
And me.
And me as well.